Welcome to the Grappling Discourse podcast. Today, I've got a very special guest. One of my good friends, Keith Krikorian, is on the podcast. Keith is a killer black belt out of 10th Planet San Diego. Keith, it's an honor to have you on. It's been awesome hanging out with you the past couple of days, but I want to start this podcast off by just asking, when did you start training and how long have you been training?
Well, I started training martial arts when I was pretty young. I started boxing when I was maybe 10. So I think it was about fifth grade age, which I think is or like 9 or 10. And then, and it was just at a boxing gym and they had a jiu-jitsu program, but I didn't have any interest in starting it just cause I really liked boxing and it was all in the gi and I thought it was like closer to karate, which, after doing boxing, I kind of was convinced karate was like, you know, like an inferior martial art. So I didn't do it. And then I started to get gain an interest in like MMA towards like my like teens, or like my like preteens, I guess. So then when I was like 13 or maybe like 12, I like just took one of the gi classes, but I was like wearing like just like shorts and t-shirt. And it's kind of confusing. Like I didn't really get it that much, but I kind of liked it. And then it wasn't until I was like 14 that I started to like train jiu-jitsu. I trained a little bit of gi at first, then the gym got bought out by, San Diego Combat Academy, which is like now 10th Planet San Diego. Kind of confusing. But that's when I met like Boogie and them. So I was about 15. And then I started training under Boogie. I was in high school, so I was like wrestling at the same time. And been with him since. I went to college for 4 years up in Orange County, but I was still with 10th Planet and I would come down pretty often just cause it's not too far. And I would have summers off and winter break and stuff. So I trained with Boogie, more or less for, you know, from 15 till now, you know.
Yeah, and what really drew you to martial arts? I mean, you started training when you were, you know, preteen, and you've been doing it all this time. Like, what drew you to the martial arts, and why especially grappling?
Yeah, well, I think that I really liked boxing because, one, it was, like, different. And I tried all the, like, normal ball sports, like baseball, soccer, even, like, I think tennis and stuff. And football I was really bad at. like, I tried all those sports, and I didn't really like it. And everyone was way better than me because I feel like they had either had, like, just, like, an athletic advantage or, like, maybe they'd just been doing it longer or whatever. And I kind of felt like it just wasn't for me. And then my neighbor was boxing, and I thought that was kind of cool. And, like, I was pretty, like, a low-confidence kid, so I felt like maybe that could give me some confidence. And it, like, totally did. and then I was doing that, and, yeah, I liked it. I don't know exactly, like, why. Maybe it just, like I said, maybe it made me feel like I was like doing something no one else was doing, you know, cause it's a kind of fringe sport. And it's like, I don't know. I just always felt like, you know, I felt really inferior, like athletically to like the kids that were really good at soccer and really good at baseball and stuff. But I felt like if you are like good at fighting, like if you can beat someone up, then like, you know, there's like nothing, but there's nothing like it's, you know, it doesn't really matter if you're good with like a ball and stick, you know? So like, that's kind of, I think why I liked it. And like, it gave me a little bit of like I said, confidence or, in that way. And then I think what attracted me to grappling, it's kind of hard to say. I think it's like, we all kind of have like this, like unspoken or like, you know, like, we don't even know how to describe it, like, feeling about grappling when you first try it, and at least the people who, like, stick with it, you know, you just like it for some reason. But yeah, I think same thing. It was like different. It was cool. I liked the idea of like using your body to like without like hitting someone, like using your body to like submit someone. Obviously like Hoist Gracie and you know, the early like jiu-jitsu guys in MMA. I guess he was the only one that kind of like interested me, especially like because I was only a boxer. And then seeing Hoist Gracie like just dominate strikers, you know, in like and initially like a boxer, I was like, oh shit, yeah, I think that jiu-jitsu is like the superior, at least in like a self-defense or like combat
Yeah,
realm.
and it's fascinating, right? There is something, it's almost like you were destined. I just think there's certain people that it's almost like a destiny to grapple, you know. My cousin, who's a black belt, he describes it as kind of like he feels like there's one person in every like generation in their family that's like meant to fight and meant to grapple, you know. And it's interesting. It's an interesting concept. But you started out like grappling early and young. What pitfalls do you feel like you had in the beginning? Like, what mistakes did you make that you would tell a young Keith, like, hey, you know, like this is a you're making a mistake here, or maybe you're not going about it the right way. What would you tell yourself, kind of like some early advice you would give?
Well, that's a good question. I don't really know. I wouldn't change too much, I don't think, because I'm like fairly happy with I'm not like, I mean, I obviously have a lot of like holes in my game and stuff and stuff like that. Maybe I'd tell give myself some technical advice, but just like the journey itself, like I wouldn't change too much. Maybe I would tell myself to take it a little more seriously than I did or than I did, 'cause I was, you know, I was kind of like just a teenager where I liked to hang out with my friends and I liked just do just you know just not like not you know I was really like committed to the gym. Like I did spend a lot of time in the gym, but even still, like I messed around a lot and I yeah took time off doing stuff. And I would say though, like technically, if I had to tell myself anything, it would be like don't give up sweeps as easily, because I give up sweeps like really easy, just because I'm used to sitting back for legs and sub only. Like it doesn't matter if you get swept, but like some guys' whole game is revolved around sweeping and then pressuring from a sweep, and that does kind of trip me up a little. So I would, yeah, I would for sure say like work on getting my hips back and stuff like that, especially because I like d'arces and front headlock stuff. So I keep my hips in so the guys like come up on my legs or something, or like you know into my like you know body, and then I can like wrap up on their head. But that, again, like gives up sweeps and stuff. So that's maybe one thing I would tell myself. That's a good question. I really don't know. Maybe like maybe don't be so hard on myself. 'Cause I was really hard on myself. Even like white and blue belt, I was really hard on myself. But I mean, I don't think that made me any better. Like I don't think that like I think I would have gotten to the same point I'm at now if I just enjoyed the process and just as much. You know, maybe even like maybe would have made me a little more comfortable. Maybe wouldn't have. Maybe it would have. You know, maybe being hard on myself slowed me down a little. Even, you know, I don't know.
Yeah, and I think there's a really common thread for guys, especially that, you know, have competed a lot and that were, you know, like really had high goals that they want to achieve, is you do have that. Because I had the same thing, you know, it took me a long time to not be hard on myself. You know, after every night, I'm judging myself based on, and I really, it took me a long time to not judge myself worth based on my performances, you know, and it could just be practice, you know, I'm leaving practice like, oh, you know, had a bad practice, so oh, man, like I'm not a good, almost like I'm not a good person, you know. And I think especially as like young guys, you know, like in the sport, you know, that can be really common. So like, did you deal with that? And like, how did you have you been like, how did you get past that, I should say?
Well, I've literally, dude, like I've been dealing with that since, like I said, since white blue belt, and it wasn't until recently that I stopped judging my self-worth, or like, you know, kind of like equating my value as a person with how I do in the gym, you know, or how I do at jiu-jitsu. Anytime I would like get beat up in the gym, maybe by someone that I, you know, shouldn't have got beat up by, I would like, I would let it really bother me, you know. And same with it when I would lose a match, I would be devastated for a while, you know? But it wasn't until recently that I think I kind of started to accept that just, you know, that's part of life. Like you're not gonna, not every day is gonna be great. Not every practice is gonna be great. Not every decision you make is gonna be the right one. And like, you kind of have to embrace that, and you kind of have to like, you kind of have to like enjoy the, like the imperfectness of training and like, and even life, you know, like that's kind of why life is so cool, is because it's not, it is really like unpredictable and like I said, imperfect. And it wasn't like literally, like I just got my black belt, you know, in October, so however many months ago that was. And like, it wasn't until after that, like, so just recently that I figured that I kind of like became a little more accepting of like, of that, you know. And maybe it is because like I'm a little better now, and like, you know, not just recently, but like in general, the past few years I've gotten a little better, so I'm not getting beat up as much. But even still, it happens a lot, and I would get frustrated. And now it's kind of, I've taken a step back and realized like that's not, that's just like not a good way to think, and it's like kind of counterproductive to like the jujitsu lifestyle, which is, I think, like being very like grateful and like present and humble too is another one, you know. So yeah.
Yeah, and there's a word I use to really describe it. It's like you develop a mature relationship with jiu-jitsu, because I feel like I was very immature, because again, like I had those same thoughts, you know. And as I realized, you know, and there's something about getting a black belt, and maybe that takes like a lot of weight off, and also you've been in the sport for years by the time you get your black belt. And so you do kind of have those like ups and downs. You've dealt with them, you've dealt with the injuries, you've dealt with the wins and the losses. But it is interesting to see guys, and you're listening to you talk, you know, like how much more mature, you know, you've probably become. I mean, obviously since 15 to 23, you know, through this journey, but it definitely sounds like you have a very mature relationship with jiu-jitsu now. You know, do you feel that way?
You know, I'd like to think so. Another big part, I think, and sorry that like none of the words that I'm trying to say are coming to me. But like, another thing that has really helped me is like seeing other students like come up and go through the same things that I went through. I might have been telling you this, maybe it was my roommates, but like one of my friends was like rolling with a like a student that I typically like struggle with, and he was getting frustrated, and I was like, dude, like don't worry at all, like that's exactly how I feel. Like it made me feel better, and he said it made him feel better knowing that I also get frustrated, and like I said, it made me feel better seeing him get frustrated, and like, and it totally was like, oh, I'm not like the only person in the world that has bad training sessions and that gets frustrated. But that's how it feels sometimes when you're in the moment, you know, you're like, wow, I suck, and like everyone's getting better and I'm getting worse, and like, you know, I just not getting the hang of this like I feel like I should. But seeing other guys go through that the same stuff, like really helped me realize that it's all just part of it, you know. And I'm not alone, and I'm not the only guy. Like it literally can feel like you against the world sometimes, when it's totally not. It's like everyone's in it together, and we're all feeling basically the same thing. Yeah, I don't know if that answered your question.
Yeah, no, that's perfect, man. And I'm a big fan of, and something I really want to talk to you about, you know, even more than grappling, is just communication. Because I've really learned to communicate through the sport of grappling, you know, and like realizing that I am not alone, and that there are times like, man, if I'm having a down day, to just reach out to somebody, you know, and you'll realize like, yeah, other people are going through the same stuff, you know. And you are somebody that, you know, a lot of people I know contact and like message, and you've got friends, you know, because you've been all over the world almost at this point, like especially over North America. You know about everybody. And how have you really learned to communicate, you know, through jujitsu, and how important do you think communication is, especially during those times where you're feeling down?
Yeah, that's huge, and that's something. This is another thing that I've just recently understood, because I felt really alone up until recently. Like I said, like I felt so alone, just 'cause like life is hard, and you can, like, it can literally feel like you have like no one understands, no one, like, you have no one, like, no one's there for you, you know, and like, and you can have this, like, defeating, kind of like self-sabotage mindset and stuff. But it was only like recently that I moved in with two of my buddies. I kind of like tried to like rekindle a lot of relationships, not rekindle, but like, you know, just like reach out to more people that I've met, and like, and I realized, oh my God, I like have so many friends and so many people that care about me, and you know, and so many like really, really good people, like great people that I think would gain a lot of value from like me, like opening myself up to them. Where, you know, I used to not do that. I used to just be really closed off and really like down on myself and just like really, really kept to myself, and that led me to like this like kind of like isolated feeling. But like recently, I just, you know, super, super happy to know all the people that I know and have made all the connections that I've made in jiu-jitsu. Like you said, like, all, you know, I haven't traveled all over the world, but I'm, you know, pretty well connected with like, you know, jiu-jitsu people all around the world. It's just, you know, it's great knowing that I kind of have so many, you know, just like so many. It just makes you feel really not alone, you know? And then like you just alluded to, we were talking about yesterday, like people like message me all the time, and you know, maybe they just need to talk to someone, and I can kind of sense that without even without them saying it, you know? And I love that, and I love like anyone that messages me, you know, or like, you know, or calls me or anything. Like I'll get pretty random calls sometimes, and people just like want to talk or whatever. You know, like people that I've like met, and they just randomly like call me and stuff. And I really, really enjoy communicating. And it's only something that I've recently realized, but it makes everyone feel better. Like, you know, we're not all like alone in this kind of thing. We're like, it just helps having like, you know, everyone. I don't know. It's like a domino effect of like making people feel comforted and connected, I guess.
And this is something I said yesterday on my podcast, just for a very brief amount of time, just talking about Boogie Martinez, about how Boogie, of all the people that I've met in jiu-jitsu, he's a guy that, yeah, he's world class on the mat, but again, I don't care about that. Like, as a person, he is a world class person, and every time I'm around him, I'm always just blown away by his generosity and his ability to make you feel welcome to anybody, you know. Whether, you know, some guys that are black belts, they don't have time for white belts. They don't have time for blue belts. I remember the first time I met Boogie, I was a blue belt, and he treated me like I was a black belt, you know, like the same to like, now that I've known him for years, it's like he treats me the exact same way as when I was a blue belt to now. And I really do pick up a lot from him, just how he treats his students and treats others. And so what have you really learned from him? Because you've been around him for 8 years now. How has he really influenced your, you know, just how you, you know, deal with people, you know, and how you, yeah, how you handle people?
Dude, I can totally vouch for him treating like a white belt and blue belt the same way he treats everyone else. Everyone else, excuse me, because that's exactly like what I was. I was a blue belt, and he treated me the same back then as he does now. Like, he's always been, and I was shocked because like typically you kind of alluded to it. Black belts, gym instructor or gym owners rather, or instructors, like they can be kind of cold and kind of just like weird and egotistical maybe, or just like, you know, self-centered. And that's like a huge turnoff for me. But when I met Boogie, and what has like bled through to like all of his students is just like the sense of acceptance and like welcoming, that's just, it's like meant so much to me as a young guy growing up. And like, I mean, because I met Boogie, and like, I've met all my like martial arts instructors at a really impressionable age, you know. Like I said, I started when I was really young. I met Boogie when I was 15 to, you know, now, which is like, I feel like that's like a period of like a lot of development and stuff. And I, you know, I think that had I, you know, trained at some McDojo with like a kind of piece of shit black belt instructor, you know, whatever, who's just like, you know, is mean to people and like, you know, cold and stuff. I might have rubbed off on me, and I'm really thankful that I met Boogie and that like I have been able to like observe him be so welcoming to every single person. Literally anyone who comes into the gym, everyone who like trains at the gym, not just visitors, like everyone who trains at the gym, like you know, gives equal attention to, and just, and it's like not even attention, just like warmth, you know, just like it's like he'll literally walk by you and you feel like, oh, okay, this guy has like this crazy energy, like not crazy in about it, like crazy nice warm energy. I just feel like that has really, really resonated with me as like someone who's, you know, is like kind of like I'm burgeoning into like a leadership role just as like a black belt. Like I feel like you kind of are forced into that, and it's really hard for me, dude, because I don't love talking. Like I love talking to people. I don't love the action of like putting myself out there, you know, and like, and you know, it's really hard for me, and I have like mad anxiety and you know, like formerly like depression and stuff. I'm kind of like I'm really getting out of that though, and I think it's a, like a large part due to Boogie and to the gym, just like and the culture that like we've all created at the gym and like has really started at Boogie. Like it's just super welcoming and just really like helps me feel wanted and welcome, and I like reciprocating that, you know, and it makes me want to make other people feel like that, like everyone in my life, you know. And I think that's just like so important, and it's been just so great having like witnessing a leader like Boogie be everything that I want a leader to be, and that I would like to kind of also be, you know, as a, like I said, as like a instructor, a friend, or whatever, you know. I want everyone to feel loved, and I want everyone to feel like secure and like safe, and like you know, safe in the sense of like they can just be who they want to be, and no one's gonna judge them or be mean to them or like or you know, like force them to act like someone else, you know, or like something that they want them to be. So I mean, that was super all over the place, but hopefully that kind of like
Yeah, no.
encapsulated how
No,
I feel
man.
about it.
And now, like, I really want to kind of talk about, like, San Diego and your teammates. Because you, in my opinion, and I've been very vocal about this, like, I think San Diego is the best 10th Planet gym in the world. So, like, you don't have to say this. I'll say it for you. But I think 10th Planet San Diego is the best 10th Planet in the world. Like, it's the number one spot, most talented guys. And then I think it's one of the top, you know, you could easily say it's top five in the world, no gi gyms in the world. And, you know, I think there's an argument for it being number one, just pound for pound, like blue belts all the way up to black belts. The talent on the mat every time I've trained there, you know, and just training with you guys the past couple of days, it's the talent's unbelievable. So what's it like training at a place like that, you know, where there is so many talented, like the blue belts are killing it, the purple belts are killing it, and then, you know, all the way up to, you know, guys like you and PJ and, you know, Boogie. What's it like training at San Diego? And just talk about some of your teammates, you know?
Yeah, I mean, it's great. Like no complaints on my end because I love and it's crazy because I never really even like thought about it. I was just like, this is my gym. Like this is where I live and this is where I happen to train, you know, and like and hearing you say that is actually something I've never really thought about. But it's cool. It's cool. That's really cool. And I obviously I tend to agree without even like, you know, without even having any basis to like, you know, prove it. I think it's like one of the best gyms in the world. And like I think it does just come from the culture. Like people want to train. And like everyone is super cool. They'll always give me whatever I need. Like whether I'm like prepping for a tournament and they'll just be super down to train with me if I say like, hey, let's do another round. Or like, hey, let's go in the back and just wrestle. Or hey, like start in 50-50 with me, or you know, or like start on my back, or you know, hey, I need to start on your back. You know, they're totally down for that. Like everyone's super down for that, and like without question. And even just like some days I'm having a bad day, and I come in, and everyone's just super nice to me, and that's exactly what I need, you know. And like, I feel like everyone knows that, and everyone gets like, I don't know, maybe they just know me really well, or I think it's just the like the general like generally like the culture there. And yeah, and just I'd like to think that I give them a little bit of like inspiration and training when I'm like pushing hard and when I'm trying to like get better and stuff, but they really just like give most of that to me. Like I see everyone training hard and I see everyone, and it's like it's great when you walk into the gym and it's like full class, and like you have consistent training partners and just everyone's just like always there and stoked to be there, and that's huge. But like, but I mean, man, like, I mean, I don't know if hopefully you're here for a couple more days. Hopefully you'll get to like interact with and like maybe even roll with like Ronnie, Matt Cox, Joe, and Rob are my roommates. They're all upper belts. Jacob, obviously we've trained a bunch with PJ. He's been super like valuable to me as a like a training partner, and I'd probably consider him more of a coach. And then there's a bunch of guys that I'm forgetting, obviously, but like all those guys just really they'll always oh Victor too, who you rolled with, really great like training partner, like they'll all just give me whatever I need, without me even really needing to ask for it or like beg for it, like they'll just there's a lot of times where Matt will be like or whoever, like I just think of Matt as an example, like he'll be sitting out and I'll be like, dude, can you like flow roll with me, and he's like, yeah, of course, like even though he's resting or he gets up at like really early in the day and he stays awake till like our latest class, and he's always exhausted but he trains hard. And like even if he's like resting, he'll do whatever I need because, he's like just a really good teammate. And that's just like everyone there. Like that's not even just specific to Matt. Like that's every single guy there will do that exact same thing for me. And that is huge as like a competitor or like like I try to, not just be like a gym warrior or whatever, like I try to like actually like go out and compete and stuff, so I need to get ready, and everyone's just super super down to help me with that, and it's huge. And like I said, or like we kind of alluded to, like comes starts a boogie, I feel like, because he's the same way, dude. He'll be sitting out, he'll be injured, and then he'll be like, do you need to like roll, or like do you need what do you need, and that's huge.
It really is just a beautiful thing to be around and to see. And I'd see a gym where everybody cares about each other and you're all like helping each other, and that's what makes that place so special. And you mentioned him, and I really want to talk about because I know how much your relationship with PJ means to you. And I've been blown away, like flowing with you. I know you've got an injury, so we haven't been able to like go at it, but you've been watching me and PJ go at it the past couple of days, and I'm just blown away by how good PJ is. Like he really is world class, and he's a secret. I think like a lot of guys don't think of him when they think of those top five, top 10 dudes in the world under 170, 100, under it's actually 155. Like I know that's the weight, talking to him that he loves, but under 185, like he's top 10 in the world in my opinion, and he's an absolute monster, and so. Talk about PJ, like how much, like how has he helped your game evolve, and what makes him so special? Because he is a special grappler.
Yeah, oh for sure special. Yeah, watching you two, like you're both, I mean I think you guys are both fucking like insanely high level, like underrated, like it's been crazy watching you guys roll. Like that is really, it's been really special, and it's I think it's almost good that I'm injured, because like I get to like I've been learning so much from you guys watching and just like what you've showed me and stuff. So yeah, it's been really cool. PJ, like having him as like a training partner has been huge, because like I feel like he's one of the rare or the few guys who knows how to get better, and I think it might come from his like wrestling background. It might come from just him as a person, like his mindset. I know he's like really educated, so like maybe it's like a like he could learn it in school or whatever, but like he will sorry, he'll take like he'll study, he'll watch footage, he'll like he'll kind of like what's the word I'm looking for, like he'll take in all this info and he'll like like kind of spit it back out at me in like a really useful way. He'll like drill when we need to, he'll roll hard when we need to, like he'll like put me through, he'll do his, we'll do like strength conditioning stuff, and like he's just the complete package. Like as an athlete, like And he wrestled D1, so maybe like that's just like a, you know, like a D1 level athlete mindset, you know. He's got it. And like that's a rare thing in jiu-jitsu, I think. I think most jiu-jitsu guys come in and roll, you know, maybe drill for a little bit, like maybe roll. Sorry, you know, mainly probably roll and then just don't learn anything, just like go through the motions, you know. But like PJ's thoughtful training, and then you combine that. So that's like huge on its own, right? Then you combine that with like insane athleticism and insane, like just like a champion mindset and stuff, and like it's the total package, and like that is just super useful for me to see and for me to kind of like I hope absorb a little bit, you know, because I don't know, I wouldn't say I'm like crazy athletic or I don't have that same mindset maybe sometimes, and I don't, you know, it's hard for me to just, I'm not inherently just like good at many things, so like I feel like I get to like absorb a little bit from him, and and like it's just great for me, like it's really huge, you know, and I just, this is another thing where I just lucked out, just happened to train here, and he's here too, and like I just, it's just like one of the like most like probably one of the best, yeah, probably one of the best like kept secrets in my game, in my like, you know, journey or like whatever career or whatever is PJ, you know. Yeah, it's huge. I hope, you know, I hope more people can start to realize like what you and I know, which is that like he's like you said, like definitely one of the top 10 in the world. I have him in like my like top three athletes, like just objectively, like skill for skill, like he's right up there with the top guys at 170, 85, definitely 55. You know, I can't even think of any, I can't think of anyone who's like, you know, I've only seen him lose one match at 55 ever. That was against Rutulo, and like I love Cade, but it's like PJ, I think PJ showed he was a lot better. He just got caught in something that was like, and it was like a cardio issue too, you know, whatever. But like I've only ever seen him lose once at 55. Like I think he could possibly be the best in the absolute best in the world, skill for skill at 50, 155, 170 top three, 85 top 10. Like, and like that's crazy to think about, like a guy that good. And I get to train with him, and like he, you know, yeah, and he just gives me everything I need. I know that was super long-winded,
No, I was just thinking. I was like, man, me and you could probably spend the next hour just talking about PJ because again, he really is he should be on that pedestal of like, you know, top guys. Like you said, I completely agree with your evaluation of like he might be the best in the world at 55. He's definitely top five in my opinion. I'm not willing to put him top three. You know, again, like I love him. But out that Dante match, you know, I think Dante, I might put Dante ahead of him still. Just Dante's wins, he's got some huge wins, and then top 10 at 185. So I definitely am right there with you. And it's just his, it's, man, again, we could just keep going on and on about how awesome he is. But I'm sure people will keep finding out more and more about PJ. But now, like transitioning to a little bit more about your game, you know, how has your game developed through the years? You know, where did you start, especially like the colored belt? You know, you how like what was your game at blue belt, and now through to your current state at black belt?
Definitely blue belt was, I was just a wrestler, and then, you know, my whole game was revolved around wrestling, right? So like I had to be on top. I had to get to a front headlock. I had to like pass your guard, but I didn't really have anything else. I didn't really have too many submissions. And then I started when I like I started training with Boogie at blue belt, and he started teaching me like submissions from front headlock, meaning the vice grip, and that like changed my game. And so then I was like kind of a front headlock guy. And then at purple belt is when this is like 2016. Which is around when Eddie Cummings was like, and the Gary Tonin and all those guys were kind of killing it with leg locks. So I realized I had to learn leg locks. So I became kind of like a leg lock guy because I was just trying to master leg locks. And my whole game was pretty much at that point was like a blend of Boogie and like Eddie Cummings, like front headlock stuff, and then like all like leg lock stuff, and like mainly like outside heel hooks and stuff like that, like everything Eddie does. And so that was like all purple belt. And then brown belt, I started to kind of like become like more of like a, that's, this came from PJ, was like more of like a back taker. Cause like PJ, I think, is one of the best in the world off the back. And you know, I started to do more like EBI overtime tournaments and stuff. And I just kind of realized like, oh snap, like once you get to someone's back, they have nothing. They really can't do anything, you know, outside of like escaping or like moving, which is just going to like put them in even worse, like in just as bad spots, you know? So it's like a really good place to be. So I was like just a back hunter, you know? And like, that was huge. Like at brown belt, I think majority of my wins were all from the back. And then like black belt, I've been trying to like blend everything. Obviously I'm trying to like become more well-rounded and stuff. It's been about like, it like submission wise, it's probably been more arm bars. But conceptually, like I'm trying to like put everything together, you know? So yeah, I'd say like, yeah, blue to black. It went like, it was like front headlock, leg lock, back takes, or like back attacks or whatever. And now like I'm trying to put everything together. I'm like really, really trying, but it's so hard. and there's a lot of stuff that I neglected out of all those lower belts, because like at purple, I was like really just focusing on getting the legs. And like, you know, so like my top game wasn't that great, my passing wasn't that great. And then like brown, it was when I think we were talking about, it's when I started to work like passing more, because you know, you mostly have to pass to get to someone's back, unless you're like baramboloing or, you know, setting it up from guard. Like you gotta pass. And so like it was just like, yeah, that's just an example of like all the stuff that I'm trying to like have tried to learn and try to work on. And now like I just really like my only goal, outside of like competition goals and stuff like for this year, is just like really like put everything together for I think the first time. Like I just really want to develop like a well-rounded game, you know.
It is funny how at black belt you just do start putting everything together, you know, and it's almost like as you get better at one thing, you get better at all things, you know. I always joke with people like, yeah, it's a beautiful thing to be a black belt, right? You can just pick things up so much faster, and you can add them, and you can kind of add things into your game. You're just so much more aware of what your game is, and so you can kind of work on the fringes of that to get better. But now thinking about like competition, because you're a guy that's always competed a lot. All belt levels, you competed a lot. Probably, I would say, over the past 5 years, you've had the most matches of anybody in 10th Planet. Definitely right up there in the top three. I know that 1 year you competed like over 80 times, like in a year, which is just incredible. But you're a guy that like, you would hear that and you'd go, oh man, like this is a guy that doesn't deal with anxiety. This guy doesn't have like pre-match nerves. He's just a guy that like goes out there, he's confident. And how do you prepare mentally for the, like a match? Like what can you tell? Cause like so many people, this is the thing. Like, everybody thinks they're the only one that like gets scared before matches and that's afraid to lose. But we've all been there before. And sometimes, like myself, there were times like I didn't really have those pre-match anxieties and nerves. Like I felt great. And then there were times I'm freaking out, you know, a week before. And I'm like, oh, man, like, why did I decide to do this, you know? So how do you deal? Like, how have you dealt with it over the years? And kind of what are your, like, some things that have helped you?
Well, I mean, just, like, competing a lot has been huge. That was something I learned in wrestling. Like, technically, like, I can only drill so much. And, like, I can only, like, learn moves so fast, but it's like I have to like be able to apply them in competition. That's like the important thing, I guess. So like just competing a bunch in wrestling, I competed, you know, all year round, just like off season, during season, obviously, and you get a bunch of matches in wrestling. And so I took that same mindset to jiu-jitsu, and I just like try to get as many matches as possible just to like master that, like without even thinking, just like just go compete, like, and just figure it out. Like, I didn't really think about how to control nerves. I didn't think about how to control anxiety. I was just like, just feel the mat and like feel the competition, feel like what it's like to step in a gym with like 10 people and like compete, and then step on the stage, the Orpheum or whatever, like at EBI, and then like compete in front of people and like with actual people watching, you know, and like feel like what that's like. And then it's not till like recently that I kind of started to realize, a way to control kind of my nerves, rather just like handle all that, is just by being prepared and just like in like, you know, being confident in like my preparation and stuff, and like not doing things if like, you know, if I don't feel like ready for something, you know, like make sure that I'm, you know, I'm getting it, like I then shift and like and then make sure I am ready. Whereas like I used to just like hop in anything, whether I was training or not, or like how hard I was training, I'll just do whatever, you know. But then now, like, you know, it's one of the things is like just getting comfortable. That means like maybe like a long, like a nice good warm up. Maybe that means like some visualization stuff, you know, some like some breath work, some like really deep breaths, you know, which I'm not like crazy into like Wim Hof or anything, but I do like believe like just getting oxygen into your body is like a good thing for your brain, you know, and like in your mindset. Just in the visualization thing, like maybe it's like me not even visualizing winning, like it's me visualizing like some adversity and like not expecting to just go in there and tap a guy in 10 seconds. Maybe it's me like, oh snap, it's like he passes my guard and he gets to mount and now I got to work from there, and like visualizing kind of like coming back from adversity and all those things. I mean, there is no like, I guess there is no like one way, you know, we're all kind of individual and stuff. So it's hard to say, but definitely have picked up just those few things. And just accepting that, like, I'm not the only person, like you said, I'm not the only person on earth that is feeling these way. Like everyone else is feeling this way too, you know? And that makes me kind of like, oh, okay, great. This isn't like, it doesn't put as much pressure on me. And like, it's maybe not as like dire as I you know, thinking it is, you know? I don't know. It's hard. It's still like, I'm still playing with it almost, you know? But yeah, biggest thing is just like repetition and, you know, getting out there and competing and just like putting myself through those feelings, you know, like day after day or you know, whatever, like competition after competition, just like feeling it and just being able to like handle it.
So I've just got a couple more questions, but I have to ask about your conditioning, because you are a guy that has, you know, went through two insanely huge ADCC trial brackets, right? So you're having like six matches just, you know, get to the finals.
Yeah.
You know, you've done multiple EBI, you've done like a million like EBI type tournaments, you know, whether it's finishers or actual EBI. Like, how do you prepare like conditioning wise for that?
Well, you used to just roll a bunch, like, and I just, you know, like even in wrestling, I just always have like a pretty natural cardio base. It's like strength. It's like always been kind of my thing. Or like kind of a weakness, I guess. I would just roll a lot, and I would just kind of put myself in the fire. Now, like recently, I've like decided, like, you know, especially if I want to take this in like a semi-professional route, like I have to act like a professional athlete, you know, and like I have to do more like strength and conditioning, whether it's just lifting weights, whether it's like plyometric training, whether it's like, and just like stretching and stuff too, like getting my body feeling like it's like ready to go, you know, and just like, you know, like putting the two together, because like I said, I've always had kind of had that cardio, you know, it's like putting like that strength together, and stuff like that. I mean, I think like one of the biggest things is like always kind of made me like have good cardio and like, or like, you know, sort of like be able to keep going, is just like mindset stuff, like just like, you know, just like you're not tired, you're like, you know, you're like you can keep going, like no, like literally no one is in better shape than you, even if that's not true, you know, just like you can just keep going, like you'll keep going, doesn't matter like what's going on, you know, like just keep going and just like keep pushing, and I think that's made a huge difference in like my cardio and stuff, and then obviously just like, yeah, all the training. And sub only is like typically longer rounds, and then you have overtime, so it's like you get a lot of like mat time, and you kind of, you just develop that cardio, you know. But yeah, that is it's always been tough for me to kind of like get into that strength conditioning mindset and like do all of it, because that's like not very fun. Like, it, you know, historically it's like not very fun, you know, like, you know, your body doesn't like welcome that most of the time, but you kind of have to make it enjoyable, you know, you kind of have to like just put yourself through, you know.
Yeah. For sure. And like, what is your preferred rule set? Because you are a guy that's competed IBJJF. You competed sub only, no time limit. You've done EBI 10 minutes, then EBI, OT. You've done the ADCC trials. Like, what is your favorite rule set?
I think it's got to be sub only. Like I just I like knowing that there's gonna be a submission, right? It's like, yeah, I don't know. It's really hard for me to say, like, because I do like competing in everything, like, and I like, sometimes I do like having a little bit of structure to like the competition, like things hold value, like, a sweep or a guard pass or whatever, or a submission attempt even, but yeah, like competing wise, I do just love competing in sub only. But I also feel like that's my preferred rule set and stuff. So it's like, it's not that it's not fair, because guys still beat me there, but like, it's like, it's too comfortable for me. I like to do rule sets that aren't as comfortable. So I like to do like, points, like ADCC, I guess, is both. I like to do stuff like that, just because, even like fight to win is like ref's decision and stuff. Like I like, and that is really uncomfortable for me too, because like I don't really know how to play to like a ref's decision. Like all I know is how to like attack submissions and like and score in the pursuit of like submissions. Like anything I do, like if anytime I win a match, it's because, like, even if it's on points, like it's because I was trying to submit you. Like maybe I passed your guard, like looking for a sub or like to set up a sub, but it's never like just pass your guard, or like try to pass your guard to like show the judges that I'm trying to pass your guard, so yeah, I do like, I love sub only, but it's like almost too comfortable. I like challenging myself and like putting myself in all the rule sets that I don't normally compete in, because I feel like that's less it's less comfortable for me. And it's almost like yeah, it's almost like if I do, let's say I do win in that rule set, it's like people can't really say, like, oh, well, this is, it's sub only, like it's preferred rule set, maybe like, oh, well, like maybe I'll do yours, I don't know. I don't know.
And I don't want to talk like, I mean, there's like obviously like a million like competitions we could talk about. You've done ADCC, you've done ADCC trials a bunch of times, you've been in EBI, CJJ, but really like the one that fascinates me the most and my favorite story of yours, and I think the one that like really made me a fan of yours. Like I really like love, I mean, I love watching you compete. I've told you I've gotten a bunch of techniques from you over the years. If you're a student at 10th Planet Academy, you'll know I love that like that north south arm bar that Keith hits. Like I love it. It's one of my favorite techniques now. But anyways, I really want to talk about finishers, because I think finishers is like a really special tournament. It's always kind of had a really cool vibe. It's kind of got like an underground kind of rap battle scene-y type thing. Like there's always like, Gary Tonin, Jordan Ryan, those guys are always around, and their guys are always there. The Northeast is kind of, 10th Planet, and then the Northeast, not just Henzo's, but you got Marcelo's up there, you've got, Unity. Those guys are always in finishers. And you went from, your first time at finishers, you lose in like 10 seconds to being a two-time champ. And I think winning finishers is just such like, I don't know. It really is like a I love finishers, like watching it. And the guys they've had over the years have been incredible, And talk about like, that's what I really want you like, what was that journey like, from going, you're this purple belt. I think you're like a brand new purple belt. Going out to your first finishers to becoming a two-time division champ at finishers.
Thank you. Yeah, that's definitely like one of the milestones in my like competitive career, I'd say, is losing at the finishers. And like you said, like we actually talked about this the other day. I it was like one of the first times I'd ever flown out to a tournament. I was brand new purple. I had like my most of my competitive like by far most all my competitive experience was like wrestling. I didn't really understand the jujitsu meta yet, like I didn't have too much experience in jujitsu. And I kind of went out there like under the assumption that like I was figured out, like I can think I can hang, like maybe I can't, but maybe I think I can. And then like John Battle just yeah, he knee barred me in like a few seconds with something I'd never seen. Like an inversion to a knee bar is not something that like anyone does in my gym, and like I had never seen. So I was just like, whoa, shit, like I need to like not just do I need like experience, I need to like compete so much that like I witness like every style of like grappler, And so that's when I, that's when I like just decided to just do what I did in wrestling, just like get a bunch of experience, just get as many matches as possible. And then it was like a year or a year and a half later that I went back to finishers. And then I won, and then I went back like 6 months later.
Was it the 45 that you won first?
55 is the one I won first.
Okay. So you, the first one you beat Nick Ronan in the final?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then you went back at 145?
Yeah, I went back at 145, and that was like six or so months later. And yeah, and that felt really good. You know, it wasn't something that I was like thinking about while I was doing it. Like, I wasn't like, I need to like get revenge. Like, it was just literally finishers is just a tournament that I love. And I'd seen PJ win. And, you know, I'd also seen like a good group of guys win, like Gordon and Davila and, and like all those guys, they'd all won it. And Ethan, you know, and I was just like, that's a great tournament. And like, John Calisine too. That's a good, another good guy. And like, I was just like, I just really want to do it. Like, I had no expectations of winning, and like, I literally wasn't about a redemption thing, you know? But then it like kind of turned into that for me. Like, and like after the fact, I was like, man, I like, you know, I went back to the tournament that I was really scared of. And like, that had a lot of like emotional baggage over, you know? And like, cause I was really like, it sucked. Like I was, you know, kind of not humiliated, but like, I was like embarrassed that like, you know, I a lot of people had like, you know, kind of had some faith in me, and then I like kind of felt like in my head, I let them down. I know no one cares, but like literally I'm the only one that would care. But in your head, you know? And then, I win or whatever. And then the second one, the 145 one, was in like the same building that John subbed me in. And then like a week later, I had like a rematch with him, and I ended up beating him. And it was just like, it was like a really good, like, just like, oh, that's progress, you know, that's visible progress, you know, and that felt really, really good. I guess that maybe I said earlier that I've never won anything that I'm like proud of. I think that's like something I'm like fairly proud of. Just cause yeah, like you said, finishers is such a cool tournament. It has like that, like underground sub only vibe, you know, the, like all the true, like, you know, like down sub only dudes do that tournament, you know? So like maybe, yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, you just look at the history of it and the guys that have been in it. It really is like, I mean, from Gordon and Mike DeVia winning the first one to, you know, all the way up to the most recent ones, the talent level is always just incredible. And some of the matches have really been some of the best matches I think that have ever taken place. I mean, that match between PJ and Pat, I was asking about that. Yeah. Like, that's one of the best matches I've ever seen.
Yeah, for sure.
Easily
for sure.
Top five matches of all time. So if you haven't watched it, you definitely need to check that out. But yeah, man, like I really just love that story. Like, of everything that you've done competing, like, I was so happy. Like, it was just so cool to see you do that, man. It really, like, motivated me and excited me to, like, get better. You know, like, because like you said, you saw progress. And I think that's what we're all kind of addicted to, too. It's just, man, it's not that I'm judging myself versus you. It's just, I want to see progress in myself, you know? And so, how is that, I guess more important than really, I guess the last question, because I have no idea how long this has lasted, but the last question I really want to ask is, what are your future goals, you know? Like, you know, you're 23 years old, you're a black belt, and, like, what do you want to do in jiu-jitsu, you know? Well, what, like, 5, 10, 15, 20 years, like, what are the big goals for you?
Oh, wow, I don't know. I mean, I do know, I guess, like, you know, like, everyone, I want to open a gym, and, like, I want to lead people. Like, I really feel like, I've had so many people help me in so many ways that, like, I have to give that back, you know? Like, I have to help other people. Like, not that I have to, I really want to, you know? Like, I feel like that's just, like, what we should be, using jiu-jitsu as, like, a way to help people. Excuse me. And, like, just a way to improve everyone's quality of life, you know? And, like, I really think that, like, when someone goes to jiu-jitsu, this is maybe off topic, but when someone goes to jiu-jitsu and they feel good and they go home and they're nice to their family and they have a great night with their family, and then their family wakes up the next morning and then they go out in the world and then they feel great, so they make other people feel great, and so on and so on. Like, that's literally the power that something like that can have. And maybe it's not about jiu-jitsu. Maybe it's just about being, like, a cool person, you know, like, being nice to someone and just, like, being, like, you know, a good person. And, like, I really want to give that back to people. But like more selfishly, like competitively, I have a lot of goals. Like, you know, like we were talking about, you know, the ADCC trials and the actual ADCC and you know, I am in like pretty addicted to like, like competing and like winning sub only tournaments, you know. So I will always probably do that. But yeah, just like, you know, I think long term, I just want to keep doing this. I want to like keep having fun, which I like, you know, I love training. Like it's like literally the most fun thing in the world. So I don't think that'll like ever, you know, like and even if it does, maybe I'll step back for a little bit and like I'll be comfortable with that. Like I'll be totally secure in whatever happens, you know. But I do think that really important for me to like coach, or you know, maybe coach isn't even the right word, just like lead, I guess, you know, and like help people. And you know, one of my biggest goals when I do open up a gym is just like bring out all my friends for seminars and like to train and just like have people come in and out and like create this like community thing and like and just give like give back to all the people that have helped me, like giving me seminars. And like when I, you know, maybe I'm not the most like well-known name or anything, and like you know, they probably didn't make any money on it, you know. If anything, they probably lost money giving me more than they should have, you know. And like that just means so much to me that I, that's like one of my huge goals. It's like I'm gonna bring out all my friends and all my like, you know, 10 Planet like buddies and people who've helped me just to like train and hang out and enjoy the, you know, like really feel like they're like a, you know, like they're a jujitsu, like, you know, like a special jujitsu person, because that's how everyone made me feel, was like that I was like special. And like, you know, even though like I'm probably just like an average brown belt, you know, like you know, nothing like outwardly special, but that's how they made me feel, and I love that feeling, and I want to like for sure give that to everyone else. So that's definitely the biggest thing. I don't know how long, like you said, 10, 15 years is probably how long it'll take, but I want to get there for sure, for sure, for sure. You know, like the only reason that I like would want to make money, like make money in my gym, is to be able to do that. Like I really, like, I could care less if I'm rich or if I, you know, have my, obviously I want to be secure, but I want to be secure so that I can help other people, not so that I can like just buy myself a flat screen or something silly, you know. I just, I much more value stuff like this, like hanging out with you and hanging out with like people and training and like you creating those like kind of like memory type things, or just, you know, those positive experiences, you know. I feel like everyone deserves that, you know. Like, you know, we don't need stupid things like a new phone or a new car, you know. I don't know much about cars, like Lamborghini or something. I know it's like a good car. We don't need any of that. Like, we need to like give some positive, release some positive energy into the world, and like, you know, give each other those like great, like I said, experiences, you know, with each other. So hopefully that's what I can do someday. I know like a good amount of people have already said that they support me in my gym and endeavors. So kind of not banking on that, of course. Like it's fine if they don't, but it is nice to have that support, or like, you know, even just that verbal support. So that's really my biggest goal, I think.
I think that's just the perfect way to wrap this up. And I really appreciated you, you know, coming on the podcast, man. It's been awesome hanging out and training with you the past couple of days, and looking forward to many more times. Yeah, until next time, guys, I appreciate you guys for following and supporting the Grappling Discourse. As always, you guys know I love you guys, and I'm there for you. So send me a message, you guys, especially if you're having any type of training problems or you're feeling down about your training, send me a message. You're not alone. Till next time, peace.